Hey, shalom, everyone. I'm Amir Tsarfati, somewhere in Southern California. And yet this is one more Author's Corner episode. And together with me, the one and only Steve Yon from Parker, Colorado. Shalom, Steve. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Doing well out here. It's a beautiful summer day, and despite that, my office is freezing, so I'm wearing a jacket, but it's supposed to be a lot warmer where you're at,
but it's
you
not,
guys aren't getting the
I'm not sure. It's supposed to be a July I don't know how they call it. There is the June gloom, and then there is the July what? There is a July schwitzing, whatever.
Yes. I can't think of anything that rhymes with July, actually. So
and something that it rhymes with July. Anyway, it's if June gloom been staying there ever since. But anyway, yeah. Steve, today we want to talk about a book called Has the Tribulation Begun? One of the reasons I wrote that is, and you so beautifully helped me with it, was the fact that a lot of Christians throughout COVID really, truly thought that the tribulation has begun. And I felt there was a great need to recalibrate people's understanding and expectation from the days before the tribulation and what the tribulation truly is all about. But before we do that, why don't you start with a prayer, and then we dive into our chapter on Has the Tribulation Begun?
Right. Lord, we are grateful to be together once again. We thank you for this opportunity to talk about this book that you placed on our hearts. I thank you for the great teaching, the wisdom that you gave to Amir through this book, and that came out. Again, it is all so scripturally based, and that's what I love so much about the books that Amir puts together, is that they are all steeped in scripture. So it's not just to him and his opinion, but it is your truth that he is just bringing forth to let people see, so that they know what your words are. And we know that this book, we pray, was an encouragement to a lot of people, because COVID was a crazy time and people were wondering what's going on. But Lord, we knew that folks just needed to understand that as bad as COVID was, it's going to get worse. But we have a hope. And that hope is that before it gets worse, if people know you, they will be with you, because the rapture will take place and we will be in heaven at that place that you've got to prepare for us. So anyway, I'm going off preaching. This was supposed to be just an introductory prayer. So, Lord, thank you for this time. We give you all the glory, and we look forward to where you will lead us in this conversation. Amen.
Amen. Yeah,
sorry,
I was
Amir, almost, I know that you can
almost opened my eyes to see
preacher out of the church. What's that?
I almost opened my eyes to check if the prayer was over, and I didn't know about it. Anyway, Steve. Well. So we already gave in the timing of the writing of the book, which was during COVID, when I felt right. that at the time that there's a lot of confusion, and there's no doubt that COVID showed us how easily the masses can be manipulated, controlled, and even introduced to whatever the government wants them to know or not to know. But one thing we were convinced, I was convinced then, and I'm still convinced now, is that the tribulation has not begun. And what we've seen in COVID, what we're seeing now, as long as we are physically here, cannot be part of the tribulation, because the tribulation cannot start while we're still here. So I thought that in one book, I could elaborate on both the explanation of the tribulation and the rapture and the right timeline of both. And so to set everything, to settle the score and to make it clear that as long as we're here, we will see a lot of precursors. We're going to see a lot of signs of the times, but we are not going to be here for the tribulation. And none of the things we've seen is part of the actual tribulation.
Right. And there's so much, during that time, there's so much manipulation going on. There is so much clickbait that was taking place online and people wondering and asking questions. And we were determined from the very beginning, this book would not be one of those manipulation books. We weren't going to save the answer to this question as a tribulation began. We're going to build this big case and then finally in the great culmination say, no, it's not. So instead, we went the exact opposite direction. And the very first word of the very first chapter that's titled Has the Tribulation Begun? That very first word is
no. No. I think it is not. Yeah, it's a killer for a book if all you want is to sell books. Remember Harvest? I think Harvest kind of said something about that.
Yeah. They weren't too thrilled. They weren't too thrilled at first, but I think they bought into it. And because then we created the case for why they should still read the book. And I think that the chapter titles, the subject matter, really drew them in. Why the tribulation? Is the tribulation overkill? I mean, you look at the tribulation and so much taking place, and it's brutal a lot of times what people are suffering. Is that overkill? What are the signs that the tribulation is going to come soon? We talk about the Antichrist. We talk about the third temple. We talk about describe what the tribulation will be like. So once we laid that out, I think that made Harvest feel a little bit better that maybe people will read that first chapter and say, yeah, this is something that I really want to know more about.
And I think that a topic like that is even more true today than it was during COVID, because obviously we're closer and we're getting closer and closer. So yes, COVID may have been one of the reasons for the writing of the book, but I would have written that book today if I didn't write it before, because it is needed.
Yeah.
Because people are still confusing things. And I remember the days when everybody told me that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And again, it drove me crazy. I said, you can understand, as far as I'm concerned, you can either take it or not take it. You can either believe in it or not believe in it. You can either believe in whatever. It's fine. You know, I mean, I think that taking the vaccine was something that was up to you based on what your conviction is. I never really tell you what you need to do, what you don't need to do. But what I can say, though, that it's not the mark of the beast, because I know what the mark of the beast is. I read the book, and it felt like a lot of people are jumping into conclusions based on the hype of and hysteria of many of the YouTube videos that were out there. And they never really took the time to read the account from Revelation that describes the mark of the beast. And it broke my heart then, as much as it breaks my heart now, to see the biblical illiteracy that is being displayed by many of those content creators that are using world events and playing them into vague understanding of biblical accounts and tying them together. And it is embarrassing to see that, because what happens is eventually it will be proved wrong. And then people will take everything and throw the baby with the water, and then will run away from Bible prophecy because they'll be tagging it as a place of lunatics. And so, you know, I think we wanted to bring balance. We wanted to clarify everything. And this book is all about that.
And you also, I know that a lot of your heart was to tamp down the growing dissension within the church. I mean, you brought up the vaccine, and while you never gave a stance on whether people should or should not, because you didn't directly say one way or the other, those who were anti-vaccine said, oh, he's promoting vaccine. Those who were pro-vaccine said, oh, he's denying science. But you see the same thing today. You see it with the red heifer controversy. You see so many things that pop up where it's so obvious that the devil is getting a foothold in the church, and he's splitting the church. And when the church is split, it is ineffective. And there's nothing that the enemy wants more than a divided church that is ineffective in promoting the gospel.
Yeah. And we have to remember that God is not someone who gives us fear, but the power and love and sound mind. And it seems like there was no power, no love, and there's no sound mind. And people were afraid. And it made me so sad to see that we're being manipulated by the enemy, and everybody thinks that it's all about God. I'm thinking, you know, how easy it is to manipulate a Christian when he's not well versed with Scripture. And I think that this is exactly the product of either people are only fed by Bible prophecy, or they are not fed by it at all. And it seems like if Bible prophecy is, let's say, 30% of Scriptures, then I get to see people that are dealing only with these 30, or those that are only dealing with the other 70. And therefore, there's lack of balance. Those are over-hyping things, and these are totally ignoring things. And you can clearly see camps that are turning at each other for no real reason. If they only read the whole account, if they only took things in the right perspective, proportion, and looked at it with the understanding of the full picture, they would understand that, yes, there will come a day when things like that will happen, but it's A, we're not here, B, it will be on a much larger scale, in a much bigger scenario. And whenever you suggest that a tribulation has begun, you are actually cheapening. You discount tribulation. The tribulation is something, honestly, none of us would ever want to even experience at 1% of it. The amount of deception and brainwashing in the first half, and the amount of suffering, physical suffering, the second half, is unimaginable. And for us to even suggest that, you know, I can't eat a steak in a steakhouse because I'm not vaccinated, it's part of the tribulation. It's a stupidity, you know? You know, yes, we see beginning of great deception. Yes, we see the attempts of the enemy to try and see how governments can control you. And yes, we see that it's now no longer aerial or regional, but it's on global scale. It's one thing I took from COVID is that for the first time, one virus affects the entire planet. So we do see that the times and the seasons and technology are now bringing us to the point that a virus can travel faster and easier all across the globe. And therefore now everything that happens, whether it's economy or health, it is having global impact rather than local one. We see a lot of those things. Yeah.
And one of the things you talked about the 70 and the 30 split with prophecy and the rest of Scripture. And one of the things I so appreciate about your teachings and about how it comes across in your books is that you deal with the full counsel of God. You deal with all of Scripture, because you can't understand the tribulation without understanding the way God has dealt with Israel in the past, with the way you can't understand the tribulation without understanding Noah and what took place back then. You can't understand without knowing about the exile. And it, you have to recognize the way that God deals with people. And the only way you can understand that is not just taking one event and saying, oh my goodness, what kind of God is this who would do this kind of thing? You have to look at the way he's dealt with people throughout history, and where you see his love, his compassion, his justice, his judgment, but the way he is a promise-keeping God, the way he is a God who never gives up on his people, the way he always fulfills what he says he's going to fulfill. And when you can understand all of that together, that's when suddenly the tribulation starts making sense. It's not overkill. It's just punishment. And people have been given opportunities throughout history to repent, to come to God, because he's always looking to draw them in to, and to open up his family to them.
God never overdo anything. Let's face it, with him, he's so just. And so then we need to ask ourselves, okay, if that's the case, then apparently what we may perceive as overkill is only in our minds. And what makes us think that way? And that's because you never truly understood the word to begin with, and or you never really looked at the whole picture, or you think you took things out of context. Because obviously, everything he does is perfect. And if everything he does is perfect and he cannot be overkill, then I am the one who had a misunderstanding of it. Not he, and it's not that he overkill. I misunderstood, and therefore it led me to think that he overkilled. And so, this is why we need to study scriptures, and that's why we need to be well-versed with it. And that's why we also need to remember that with God, he never gives us the spirit of fear, but again, of love and power and sound mind. And it's important that we understand that, because every time we take things out of context and we create hysteria, we sow fear, we sow animosity, and we are weakening the body. And when that happens, it's lunacy and it's not sound mind. And in retrospect, you look back, you see how stupid and crazy it was and how we should have not taken that route. And so God is patient with us, but the time comes when he draws the line and says, that's it. And this is the point where I move forward, and that's it.
You know, in Israel and the church, we laid out three distinct groups. There's Israel, there's the church, and then there's the unbelieving world. And there can be, you know, passing between back and forth between some of them. But when we look at the end times, there are three distinct plans for each group. And part of that is brought out in the book, As the Tribulation Begun. You know, the church is raptured, is taken away, so it doesn't enter into the tribulation. We're up in heaven enjoying the presence of the Lord. But left behind is Israel and the unbelieving world. And there are still two distinct plans within the tribulation for these two groups. One has to do with discipline, and the other has to do with punishment. Right. And can you describe the difference between those two?
Yeah, well, again, we all know that, and it has to be brought up, God wants to save people. He's in the business of saving people. But he's also in the business of keeping his promises, and keeping his promises to his nation, Israel. And so by ways of allowing the events of the tribulation to take place, God is taking the glory by having Israel coming to the point of turning to him, and by giving the world a chance to escape that, not to escape the tribulation, but to escape the outcome of an unrepented life, which is the second death. And that is why it's important to understand that the world will have great judgment accompanied also by great revival. Remember. But at the same time, Israel will also go through the period where it will divide the grain from the chaff, and we are going to clearly see that there will be those that are have completely crossed the lines into the world's camp and following the Antichrist, and there are those that stay loyal to God's word and God's promises, even though they don't understand who the Messiah is. They understand that the Antichrist cannot be God and should not be worshipped as God. And they should not take the mark of the beast, therefore. And so God is going to deal with Israel. And unlike his dealing with the nations, that individuals from each nation is going to be saved, with Israel, it's going to be a national salvation at the end. And therefore, Paul could easily describe it, and then all Israel will be saved. And so although you're going to see salvation coming out of this great tribulation, Israel will experience a national salvation based on the promises of God. But in the world, it will be individuals from each nation, tongue, and tribe. And that is a big thing that I needed to make sure. And unfortunately, the majority of planet Earth's population will perish because of unbelief and because of the consequences of their choices. And when you read 2 Thessalonians, you see that because they did not choose the love of the truth that might save them, God gave them strong delusions. You see, there is a cause and effect here. And it's not like God is interested in destroying people. Their actions, their choices are, you know, behind their destination. And when it comes to Israel, he will keep that one-third remnant that will be the nation of Israel when Christ physically returns, and then all Israel will be saved.
Right, right. You know, while that's taking place, and there is the discipline of Israel to bring them back to himself, and then the punishment for sin on the rest of the world, one of the things that this book emphasizes is the fact that we as a church will not be here to experience that. And talk about, you know, what is the rapture? We talked about timing of the rapture. And the timing was really a big issue, because that is that's a real sticking point for a lot of people. There are those who are just determined that the church needs, you know, the church is a mess. The church needs to get slapped around a little bit before it's ready to get married to the Lord. Yeah. So that's just like
normal grooms do to their future wives. Slap them.
I don't want to give it all away from the book, but can you give just say two of your key reasons why you believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation?
Yeah, I mean, we gave several of those reasons, but first of all, it's against the nature of God to abuse his future wife. You know, I mean, it's the first thing. But the second thing, and it's most important thing, I think, that we need to understand, Scripture says that we're not destined to the wrath of God. And the problem is in the fact that people don't understand that the entire 7 years of the tribulation, which are the 70th week of Daniel, are just like the previous 69 weeks of Daniel. They're determined for his people and for Jerusalem, and were never really something that is prophesied over the church. And the last thing, which is very important, is the fact that if you think it's going to happen in the middle or the end, you probably know the day and the hour. Because if there is one event that we know the number of hours, weeks, days, months, and years, it's the tribulation. And if you claim it has to happen in halfway, you know exactly when it's going to happen. And if you claim it's going to happen at the end, you know exactly when it's going to happen. The only option of not knowing the day and the hour is when it happens before the countdown of the tribulation begins. And and again, so when you take the nature of God, the promises of God, and the word of God, and you combine the three together, you understand that the only option is that it has to happen any given moment. Nothing has to happen before the rapture. Just like Paul believed and was convinced about when he wrote about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 15. He never really, truly could even consider the fact that something has to happen and that it will happen after his lifetime. He really, truly believed that it can happen while he is still there. And he didn't even mention the tribulation in that whole scenario. And so it's important that we keep the same hope and the same expectation without having to wait for the tribulation to know when the rapture is. It's the other way around. So again, the nature of God and his character, promises of God, and what he wrote in his word, all three combined gives us the understanding that the church, in a very unique way, unlike anyone that comes to faith before Christ came or after we are gone, the church is a unique body that has a unique promise not to experience that wrath and not to be here during the 70th week. And by the way, there's a wedding to attend, and we happen to be the bride, so we better be there time.
And therefore, comfort one another with those words.
Exactly.
Because those are incredible words of comfort.
You don't give someone a description of the tribulation and says, that's what you have to go through, but everything will be great right after. Comfort one another with these words.
So I hope you're feeling good now.
And again, the lack of understanding of the severity of the tribulation leads many people to take it too lightly, and therefore to say, oh, we need to go through part of it. You don't need to, and you don't want to, and pray that it won't happen to you.
Well, I think we've come to the end of another edition of Author's Corner. And Amir, I don't know if you want to walk us out.
Yeah, I just want to encourage people. Again, this book is timeless. I mean, it doesn't have a timestamp. It's not like if you didn't read it right after COVID or during COVID, it won't be relevant to you now. It's actually even more relevant now than ever before as we get closer to it. I highly encourage you to get it, read it, use it. Use it in small groups, because we have a workbook that is accompanied with. And just clarify this whole mess that so many Christians find themselves in regarding tribulation, the rapture, and the timeline thereof. And that gives a lot of people hope. And also, it shows them how to pray. And so I highly encourage you to get the book and get a small group to discuss the book and walk through the workbook thereof. And it will really encourage you, comfort you, empower you, and open your eyes. Well, Steve, thank you again for another episode of Author's Corner. Thank you guys for being with us. And as always, share this video with as many as you can. And go and get Has the Tribulation Begun? Both the book and the study guide. Study together. Read the scriptures together. Stay focused. Don't be afraid. Remember, God is giving us love, power, and sound mind, not fear.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you. And shalom.